This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
5 o'clock on this Friday in New York City. Dan Grasso, Mike Tannenbaum. It is TMKS. You know it is the Michael K. Show. Here on 98.7 ESPN, 800-919-3776 is the telephone number. We got ENN coming up at 6 o'clock with Anthony. Then you got Jets pregame, myself, Greg Buddle. The season starts anew. Once again, we get underway at 6:30. And then Bob Wischusen and Marty Lyons have the kickoff of the Jets and the Eagles from Lincoln Financial Field to begin the 2022 version of the New York Jets season here on 98.7 ESPN. We started talking about football today, Mike, and we started with the New York Giants because why? They played a football game last night. As a matter of fact, Graham Gano, the walk-off field goal as time expired. Giants win the game, knock off the Patriots. But, you know, that's secondary, the final score. You want to more concern yourself with how did certain players look? Did you come out of the game in one piece healthy, more so than anything else? And there were some little signs. There were guys that flashed, I think, for the Giants. And Shane Lemieux goes down with a little bit of a toe injury there. We'll see where that leads with him. But all in all, I think no harm, no foul, pretty much, for Brian Daboll in his first go-round as a head coach.
Yeah, I think that's about right. You know, again, I thought Daniel Jones played well. He got hit a couple of times, which is going to happen in preseason. But, again, if Golladay catches that pass, Dan, you know, we're talking about a much more – I think we would have viewed his production even better, his performance. So, to me, made a play with his feet, got rid of the ball. He was accurate, decisive. So – he started off well. I thought Saquon looked really good. He had one route against Raekwon McMillan, someone we had drafted in Miami, who's not great as a defender. And
I thought you said we drafted in Miami. He's not great. I was like, well, why'd you draft him?
No, actually, Raekwon, very sort of a similar player to David Harris. David Harris better, but similar type of bigger, thicker guy. Great intangibles. Good leader. But you just saw Saquon Barkley one-on-one in a pass route, like if it was flag football, Raekwon couldn't have covered him. And that's really encouraging from a Giant perspective.
You saw the burst, right? Like we talked about it earlier, on that catch out of the backfield on that third down, he moved the chain. You saw the burst, change of direction, turn the corner, picked up the first down, moved the chains. You like to see that from Saquon. And I think I like the term that you used in talking about Daniel Jones. You said decisive. He was decisive with the ball. Now, there wasn't anything sort of intricate that Brian Daboll and Mike Kafka were dialing up when it came to the offense. It's very vanilla. You're going to see that all across the National Football League. So these are controlled throws that you would expect the quarterback to be familiar with, to be comfortable with, and that's what they tried to feature. And, you know, for the most part, given the help that he ended up getting from his playmakers, I think in two series, Daniel Jones didn't do a bad job.
Yeah, I think that's well said. Offensive line continues to have some issues that they got to get cleaned up, but overall, I was encouraged from a Giant perspective.
Daniel Jones on NFL Network after the game last night was asked how he felt to be back out there.
Yeah, it felt good. It felt good to get out here, and, you know, it's always different being in a game situation, and picks up, the speed picks up a little bit. You go through the operation and now the huddle, so thought it was good. Some things to clean up, but felt good to be out here.
Remember, he missed the last, what was it, 5-6 games of the season last year with that neck injury. You know, if your quarterback ain't healthy, that's certainly a problem for your team. And, you know, a lot to prove for Daniel Jones this year. It's, you know, year 4 in his career, it's an evaluation year for him because now he's got new bosses. He's got new people in charge. And, you know, you want to call him a holdover. You want to call him a lame duck quarterback, whatever you want to call him. But he knows he needs to produce. Giants already went ahead and declined their fifth-year option for him. So it's a pretty big season for him. He knows that.
That's true of really everybody on the roster. You know, like very few players have, you know, multi-year, you know, security. You know, James Bradberry signed a couple years ago and, you know, we saw what happened to him, and certainly when a new regime comes in, that's going to happen as well.
Daniel also was asked by the NFL Network what a healthy Saquon Barkley means to this football team.
Yeah, I think that's huge. He's obviously a dynamic player in so many ways, handing the ball, throwing him the ball, so he does a lot for us, you know, obviously with his play, with his leadership and all that, so we're excited to have him back.
You know, it goes without saying, Mike, and I don't know if it's going to happen necessarily. I do think that they are going to look to I don't want to say control his reps or control his touches this year, given, you know, the challenges that he's had so far with injuries over the last couple of seasons. But if you get a productive, forget about health. I mean, of course, you got to be healthy. But if you get a productive Saquon Barkley, maybe not to the extent that you saw in his rookie season, but if he goes out there and is a big part of this offense and is able to move the chains, be a weapon out of the backfield, that does give this unit a little bit of an extra boost in terms of them being maybe successful this year in year one under Brian Daboll.
Well, let me take you behind the scenes a little bit. You know, working with Adam Gase, and look, things may not have gone great for Adam as a head coach, but he's the all-time points leader, you know, just in terms of scoring points with Peyton Manning. And I remember talking to Adam at length about his relationship with Peyton. And, you know, we sort of like put Peyton on this pedestal, which is obviously justified. And Adam would talk a lot about, like, this whole idea of, like, breather plays or getting Peyton into a rhythm. And, like, you know, of course, like, you and I would think about, oh, Peyton's, you know, he came out of the womb in rhythm. Like, you know, he was flawless. But, you know, just to hear about, here's an all-time great that, you know, there were some games, like, he didn't feel great about something, or there was a protection, or he got hit early. And that's where, like, Saquon Barkley could really do things for Daniel Jones, Dan, that go way beyond the stats. And what I mean by that is, we saw a little bit yesterday, like, get the ball to him, like, on a swing pass, or, like, Brian does a lot of behind the line of scrimmage screens, which a lot of people do now. But, you know, you get Saquon, you know, out beyond the numbers, and he makes one guy miss, it's an explosive play. Now, all of a sudden, you know, you look down, and Daniel Jones is 3 out of 4 for 60 yards. Now, maybe the ball didn't go 10 yards down the field, but everyone feels it. Everyone, oh, man, we're rolling. We're in a rhythm. Now, in the fourth quarter, Dan, you got to make those tight window throws. It's easier to make. And, you know, it's just, you know, Michael Kay talked about, you know, pitching with confidence before, and playing quarterback's really no different. And that's why, like Barkley, to me, is a big part of the narrative this year, because Barkley, more than anything else, can help develop Daniel Jones.
All right. I want to go back to something we talked about yesterday. I think it was yesterday. You know, play calling, right? It was yesterday because we were previewing the game. You know, Mike Kafka's calling the plays, right? First time he's getting that responsibility in his young career. But Brian Daboll, it's his offense. He's the head coach. And you relayed the example of, you know, years ago when you were with the Jets, how Charlie Weiss was the offensive coordinator. But Bill Parcells, especially, you know, for a good number of those games in that 98 season that you went to the championship game, you know, Bill Parcells took the play calling duties away, and he was the play caller. You know, it's what he wants. He's the head coach. And even though Kafka's the guy, at least for now, in regards to the running game, do you think, you know, because of Saquon and the fact that he's missed some time with injury, and maybe they want to make sure that they have him for 17 games and not kind of burn him out and run him into the ground, and given the way Brian Daboll ran the offense up in Buffalo, which they didn't necessarily feature a run game too heavily. Now, a lot of that had to do with Josh Allen being the quarterback, and they wanted to utilize his skill sets. And, I mean, shoot, Josh Allen was maybe, you know, their best runner last year just because of how athletic he can be. Do you think that Daboll's going to maybe try to implement that same philosophy here with the Giants, even though he doesn't have a Josh Allen-type talent at quarterback?
Yeah, well, I think, and Eric Mangini talked about this earlier, which is, I think Brian's going to be really good at putting his players in position to be successful. So I think in some ways this is going to look a lot like Buffalo, but not completely. But I think Daniel Jones should be able to make a lot of meaningful plays with his feet.
800-919-3776. That is the telephone number. Now, on the flip side, we got the Jets tonight. And we didn't talk about them much yet because, well, you're going to be hearing them all night on this channel. Again, our coverage begins at 6:30. When you look at things that you want to see tonight, Robert Saleh says that the starters will probably play at least a couple of series, which is pretty much what the Giants starters did last night. And by the way, for those that didn't watch the Giant game, we should also mention New England did not play any starters whatsoever, offensively or defensively. So everything the Giants did out there, their ones, you take it with a grain of salt because it was against twos and threes there for the Patriots. But if you're the Jets, okay, second year in the system, offensively, defensively, you start with the quarterback. Last year in the preseason, he had a phenomenal August, right? Played very well in the two preseason games that he was out there. And then we know the struggles came once the regular season started. Is there something you could see here in the preseason from Zach Wilson in year two to say, oh yeah, that guy looks like a different quarterback than he did as a freshman?
Yeah, his the way he plays in the pocket, how quickly he gets rid of the ball, how looking at his reads, you know, high to low or whatever the, you know, the play may be, you know, is it a full field scan? Is it, are they cutting the field in half? Are there going to be boots and waggles? He needs to show command of this offense. You know, he's another year into it, and I think this is a important preseason for him because they certainly have done a nice job of getting him more weapons.
They've done a very nice job in surrounding him with some more talent here. But again, they have to be healthy and they have to stay on the field, or else that doesn't do any good. Now, you're not going to see Dwayne Brown, of course, tonight. He was just signed a couple of days ago here by the Jets, and he was going to get the first crack at replacing Mekhi Becton at that left tackle position. So not necessarily to freak out. Whatever tackle is out there tonight opposite George Fant, it's probably going to be Chuma Doga who's going to get the first crack at things. I don't think it's, you know, cause for any sort of panic because you know that Dwayne Brown is waiting in the wings. But a fan, I think, is always going to be eager to take a look at, you know, the new toys that the team has to work with. And in this case, you know, you could start with the rookies. You know, when you have as many first-round picks as the Jets had and high picks, you know, they had four of the top 36 picks in this draft. Garrett Wilson and Breece Hall on offense. You've got Sauce Gardner and Jermaine Johnson on defense. Then you throw in all the free agent acquisitions this team made. I think there's a lot that you could feast your eyes on if you're a Jet fan starting tonight down there in Philadelphia.
Yeah, no, that's a really good recap. And, you know, what you see is not what you get. You know, the Dwayne Brown signing is a good example of that. But, you know, again, you can still put your quarterback in a really good position. I thought that's what the Giants did for the most part last night. You know, the ball got out of Daniel Jones' hands. You know, we saw some play action off of an RPO, for example. So, look, Chuma Doga, what a great opportunity. Go play good football. Like, don't worry about Dwayne Brown. You know, go play well. So, all those players you listed, I want to see them compete. I want to see them, you know, play smart, don't have costly turnover penalties, and lay the foundation to build on, because a lot of those guys you just talked about, they're not going to be in there very long. So you just don't want to do, you know, kind of do anything that would give you a big setback, like, you know, get beat on a double move if you're Sauce Gardner, or, you know, just go out there, play good crisp football. Stay healthy. Don't make the same mistake twice. And I would got to think, especially for Zach Wilson, they got to put him in a position to be successful.
Little bit of a tease, you know, to pull the curtain back into our pregame show tonight, Mike. I caught up with Solomon Thomas earlier this week. So that's going to be the interview that you hear on the pregame show tonight. And I asked him, you know, as a guy who's been a veteran of this league and has made a few stops along the way, you know, you hear about different players, you watch certain players, whether it be on film or you compete against them and so on and so forth. And I asked him, I said, is there one guy on this team, on this defense, that now you get to see each and every single day and you think to yourself, you're like, wow, you know, he's even better than I thought he was. And the first name that jumped out of his mouth and the guy that he just kept raving about, and you'll hear it in the interview coming up a little bit later on the pregame show, he said was Quinnen Williams. And this is year number four for Quinnen. And look, I don't think that Quinnen Williams has been bad by any stretch. Of course, that's not the case. But, you know, I don't know if he's flashed necessarily the level consistently enough that you would expect to see from a guy who was taken third overall in the draft, and that Nick Saban, you know, could not stop singing the praises of down there in Alabama, you know, as a football player. So, is, you know, I wonder if now with the extra talent, with Carl Lawson being back on that defensive line, you added Jermaine Johnson, a little bit more depth there on that unit, maybe this could be Quinnen Williams' breakout season in year number four for the Jets, and that changes the complexity of that defense.
Of the whole team, you know, look at what Aaron Donald did for, you know, the Rams. And I'm not saying this guy's Aaron Donald, but
right.
It certainly can speed up the opposing team's quarterback's clock. And once you do that, that can impact all three phases of the game, Dan.
And they do, you know, they do have some depth on that defensive line if these guys can stay healthy. You know, you think about certain guys. You know, Sheldon Rankins has been a productive player, certainly, in his career. I think you're probably going to see a lot more of John Franklin Myers, you know, on the interior this season. You know, JFM was a guy who played end last year, had a good, you know, first four or five games of the season. The Jets locked him up to a contract extension. Sack numbers didn't necessarily increase much after that point, but JFM is a guy I think you're going to see a lot inside. Kind of what the Giants used to do once upon a time when they had Justin Tuck. And remember, in passing situations, you had O.C. Umanure on one end, you had Michael Strahan on the other end, and they would slide Justin Tuck to the interior of that line, and he would be a mismatch problem for those guards and centers because of his quickness and his burst. And according to everything that, you know, I've learned up until this point here in camp, it sounds like that's a similar plan that they're going to have for John Franklin Myers.
Yeah, and look, with Lawson coming back and Jermaine Johnson, like that's where you want to get your best four out there. And look, obviously, as you mentioned, it should start with Quinnen Williams and you go from there. But position flexibility in the front is so critical.
Vinnie Curry's another guy. You know, Vinnie Curry, you know, longtime Philadelphia Eagle. He was a guy that signed before last season but never played because he had some health issues and he had to step away from football. But he's back, and, you know, he's a veteran presence. I'm not sitting there telling you that he's going to be a 10-sack guy or even a starter, but he'll be part of that rotation and, you know, just another person there that could potentially apply some pressure to the quarterback, which isn't the worst thing in the world. And, you know, we already talked earlier about the reinforcements there in the secondary. You know, linebacker depth is a little bit thin. Quan Alexander was signed just a couple of weeks ago. Somebody who knows Robert Saleh's defense from their days together in San Francisco, but he's still kind of, you know, getting up to speed as a late arrival there to camp. Depth is a little bit thin at linebacker, but, you know, to one of our previous callers, the personnel would dictate that this defense is going to be a heck of a lot more improved, certainly from the unit that was ranked dead last in the NFL last season.
Yeah, well, they really need to be. Especially, you know, that there's going to be some growing pains on the other side of the ball with, again, probably a rookie running back, second-year quarterback, offensive line that will still be a work in progress. But you're right, there should be plenty to go around to make that defense materially better than where they were a year ago.
800-919-3776, that's the phone number. Your take on, if you're a Giant fan, what you saw last night, certainly in expectations for the season. The Jets, you know, getting ready for this first game, some of the guys that you're maybe keeping an eye on this evening and really for the rest of the season that you hope are going to do some good things for them. I'll throw out one more name there for you before we maybe get some calls in. Denzel Mims, right? It's the guy who, you know, certainly is on everybody's minds come the month of August in preseason. Certainly a year ago, it seemed like he was constant fodder for the reporters asking questions to Robert Saleh as he was, you know, on the field, off the field, missing time, available, not available, all those things. Now he's a guy that, you know, seems like he had a good offseason, you know, no injuries, no setbacks, but the Jets still went out there and brought in more wide receivers and guys that leaped him on the depth chart. So if you're Denzel Mims, and especially being a guy that doesn't play special teams, Mike, I don't know, is this kind of maybe a showcase opportunity for the Jets that maybe he's going to get a lot of play tonight because maybe he's someone that they would maybe dangle in front of other clubs?
Yeah, absolutely. And he should play special teams. Go block a kick. I mean, I know that's something he hasn't done a lot of, but like his whole career could change by just being on the roster, dressing for every game, by playing special teams. Because when you're a backup receiver or running back for that matter, Dan, and you don't play teams, it's hard to make it. So go make a play in the kicking game. Volunteer for it. Like coaches love that when you say, imagine if you went up to Coach Saleh and said, hey, I want to go cover kicks. Like that would go a long way for him to be, you know, thought of differently by the coaching staff.
You know, one of the other things, too, you and I were talking about over the last few days in regards to the Patriots. And, you know, Giants played them, of course, last night. And there's all this uncertainty and ambiguity about who indeed is going to be calling the plays for New England, right? Whether it's going to be Joe Judge, the former Giant coach, whether it's going to be Matt Patricia, who was their longtime defensive coordinator, and now he's moved over to the offensive side of the ball for the Patriots, or is it going to be Bill Belichick himself, you know, having a large hand in what happens with the offense? So last night, of course, after the game, the media tried to get some answers from the Patriot head coach, and you know that he isn't exactly forthcoming with a lot of things, but they tried their best, and here was the exchange between the New England media and Bill Belichick about who indeed is going to be the Patriots' primary play caller.
Do you know if one will call plays when the regular season arrives?
Yeah, well, don't worry about that. We'll work it out.
So have you decided?
We're going through a process, just like everything else on this team.
All right, Mike, you know Bill certainly better than either one of us do. So what does, in Belichick language and Belichick code, what does that mean to you?
Back off.
just stop inquiring, stop asking
back
questions. You'll know
off
when you have to.
Yeah, yeah. Just look down at my hands here. See all these rings? I know what I'm doing, and you'll know when I tell you. You're on a need-to-know basis, so back off. That's exactly what he was saying. And look, he has a track record. You know what's really cool? Like, I, you know, we had even more time to get into this, but Eric Mangini was a 3-time Super Bowl winning defensive coordinator. 3-time.
Yep.
Belichick took him from the PR department. That's like saying, like, Jared Winley, who's the PR director of the Jets.
Shout out Jared, one of the greats.
Yeah, does a really good job. That's like saying Jared Winley in 5 years is going to be the defensive play caller and the Super Bowl champion. Like, that just it's really remarkable that, you know, Mangini got his foot in the door through the PR department, and Bill's done a remarkable job of developing, you know, over 20 years, Josh McDaniels and Brian Daboll and Eric Mangini and Jim Schwartz. I mean, there's a gazillion of them. And if Bill Belichick wants to develop Matt Patricia and Joe Judge to be play callers this year, like, after doing it at his level for 20 years, like, he's earned that right. So there must be some reporter that's under his skin for whatever reason. And he's like, you know, I got a month. We'll get it worked out.
Well, that was like you were part of that group in Cleveland in the early 90s with Belichick, right? And the NFL Network did that great documentary on you guys, you know, how you were all kind of doing these, you know, low-level jobs in the organization, all trying to get your foot in the door when it comes to football and, you know, growing your careers. And it's like whatever it takes. Like Thomas Dimitroff went on to be the GM of the Falcons, right? Wasn't he like one of the groundskeepers or something like that?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I just graduated from law school. I was driving people to the airport. Thomas was the groundskeeper, and Jim Schwartz was there, Scott Pioli, George Kokinas, Eric Mangini, Kirk Ferentz, Al Groh.
Phil Savage, right?
Yeah, Phil Savage. Nick Saban had just left. I mean, it was incredible. And Bill hires people. He sets a very, very high bar. And, you know, I just think Matt Patricia and Joe Judge are going to be really good. And you have to give coaches a chance to develop. Like, imagine the first time he said to Eric Mangini, hey, you're gonna call the defense. Like, it's a great moment, and you have to earn it. And he wouldn't have let those coaches call those plays in the game yesterday if he didn't feel like they were prepared.
You just graduated law school, which probably had to cost you a couple of bucks. I mean, I'm just assuming, right? That wasn't a pretty penny. And you're driving people to the airport. Probably not getting paid a hell of a lot. Just my guess. Did you have any questions in the back of your mind, like, what am I doing? What did I do? You know, I have these degrees, I'm well-educated, and I'm sitting there essentially playing the role of a chauffeur. Like, did you get any grief from your family? Like, Mike, you're wasting away this great education. What are you doing? Did that ever cross your mind?
Yeah, like, every day. You know, like, of course, you know, and, like, you sort of toil in, you know, sort of, like, at the bottom of the ladder, and you have this dream and your goals and your hopes, and you just hope that it pays off one day. And, you know, I just knew, like, in that building every day, you look to your left and to your right, and you just saw greatness. You know, I lived with Jim Schwartz for a while and hung out with Scott Pioli. And
who did the cooking?
We all ate at the facility, because if I told you the hours we worked, it was beyond insane. So I don't remember, like, being in the apartment very much. But look, you know, then I went back to the Saints and I was making $400 a week doing more of the same and just happy to be there. And, you know, then I got my big break to get to the Jets and was at the Jets for 16 years. I've been very fortunate. And for me, it was always, Dan, to be candid, choose a job you love. You never work a day in your life. And it was really never about, you know, the money for me in terms of, like, it was the fulfillment of the opportunity to work for something that was, you know, we were trying to build something that was greater than it was for any individual. Like, that's what team's all about. Like, you know, you're trying to create something that's really special. And, you know, this week's been a great reminder of that. You know, like, we've been on with Mangini and Krabet and Rex, and, you know, it's about the relationships, and that's what it's all about. You know, you're trying to do something really special, and you're spilling blood with people 20 hours a day in some cases, and, you know, you're certainly not doing it for the paycheck.
No, no doubt about that. But it's like you said, it's about keeping the relationships and, you know, being able to connect all these years later with guys that you worked with. And, I mean, it's true. And guys that, you know, were working for you, tremendous. And, you know, we've all had fun with it certainly over the last several days, and it's a good lesson to learn. Today's New York Yankees injury report is brought to you by Total Orthopedic Spine and Sports Medicine. Aaron Boone was meeting with the media there, and Meredith Marakovitz, of course, from the YES Network, who covers the Yankees, tweeting out that Luis Severino is expected to throw a bullpen on Monday, which is good to see, of course, but that means he still can't pitch, though, till mid-September, because he's on that 60-day IL, so that's the earliest that he could come off and be active and throw for sure. That is the Yankees Injury Report. It's brought to you by Total Orthopedic Spine and Sports Medicine. Total Ortho Express is Long Island's premier orthopedic immediate care, where no appointment is needed. After all, Time doesn't heal wounds, they do. 800-919-3776 is the telephone number. It's Dan Gross and Mike Tannenbaum. We're rolling till 6:30. Then it's Jets pregame with myself and Greg Buddle. And I think that Mr. Buddle's going to pay us an appearance, as a matter of fact, sometime between now and ENN. So we look forward to that. Coming back here on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Mike, we're, of course, going till 6:30 tonight. Then it will be pregame. Myself and the gentleman who is sitting to my right, it feels like we never left. We're back. It's starting a season anew. It is the great Greg Buddle who joins us now on 98.7. Hi, how are you?
I'm great, although I don't see Tannenbaum. I know he's there somewhere.
Yeah, you know, I'm actually at the Seaport. I'm scrubbing the floors, waxing them, getting everything like steam clean. So on Sunday night when the royalty gets here, everything is looking good and polished.
Well, you know, when you were GM, your favorite line was "the more you can do."
Yeah, that's exactly right, Greg.
See, he remembers. He doesn't forget those things. Yeah. He knows what it's all about. So it's great to see you. And I'm looking forward to another season. This is what, our 8-9-0? This is our fifth season together, you and I.
Yeah, it's a long time. It's
wow.
22 for
22 radio. For you. Yeah. You and Don for a long time, but you and I 5 years now. Optimism always seems like it's in the air every time you get ready for the first preseason game, but I guess no different this time around for the Jets, right?
No, I think first of all, there's a lot of optimism coming off of a great draft year that I can't remember for the last 15 probably. But
right.
Douglas has done a really good job. Now, that being said, he can only draft the guys. He's not playing, so you got to hope that these guys come through with what they did. Now, barring injuries, of course, Mekhi Becton's down because of his knee. That's a sad thing, but hopefully these guys will stay healthy and they'll be able to play to their ability. And if they do, the Jets are vastly improved from last year and tremendously improved from 2 years ago.
I think that's fair. And, you know, Becton, you think about it, this is the second consecutive year where in training camp the Jets lose a significant player of their team, likely for the season, right? Last year it was Carl Lawson, who suffered that injury in the practice against the Packers, and now it's Becton. But in Becton's case, this is the second straight year, Greg, that we're probably not going to see him play. Like, when you look at him now, I mean, is it fair for the Jets to factor him into their long-term plans now, given the uncertainty of him as a player?
Well, and here's what fans, Jet fans particularly, because of the way it's gone over the last 10 years and, you know, of terrible watching the Jets struggle and trying to get past a point where you're good for not a couple games, but for a couple seasons, that you look at things and you go, boy, they're all down on all of those things because it's the woe is me factor. But I want to just make a point that back in, I think it was 81, 82, Phil Sims was drafted by the Giants. And the first 2 years, he got crushed.
Oh, yeah.
He was out for 2 years. I mean, there's
Scott Bruner was playing, remember?
So you have these issues where you think somebody's injury prone and, oh, you're down on the guy. But I would have to just, you know, put a stay on that right now because Mekhi Becton's the kind of guy that could be a transient tackle. He could be great for the next 10 years. And I don't think that you should just throw him away just because he got hurt, unless he can't walk again. I don't think that's the issue. I just think that you've got to be patient with a guy that's that size and has that issue. Hopefully it won't be recurring. And you can only find out when he comes back and he puts the pads on and he plays next year.
Yeah, I guess I see that a little bit different, Greg, from a standpoint. Like, I think anything you get from him is a bonus. But I just think you'd be hard-pressed to count on him.
No, I would say I'm not saying you're going to count on him, but I'm going to say that you should not throw him into the waste pile. That's what I'm saying.
Contingency totally plan. Fair. Yeah. Yep. And look, they signed Dwayne Brown. Dwayne Brown's obviously not going to play tonight. We know that. And, you know, Mike made the point all week, and I think it's a good one. You talk about a guy like Dwayne Brown, he's been out on the street all offseason. He hasn't been in an offseason program, which a lot of these other guys have. You just wonder for a player who, Mike, what is he going to be, 37, 38, 37 years old in a couple of weeks? Yep. What type of a toll is that going to take on an aging player like that?
Well, let me put it this way. It's a much easier proposition to grab a player of Brown's ilk that you may say he hasn't been in a program.
Because of the experience.
But if he needs to be in a program to learn football, that's the wrong guy. So he doesn't need that. The only thing he needs to do is know what is the Jets offense about. How are they going to – are they man blocking? Are they reaching? Are they zoning up? What are they doing? And he should know it all, because he's done it all over the last 10, 12, 14 years. So to me, I don't think that's such a big deal. Now, if you want to say, well, he's not in shape, I don't know too many guys over 320 pounds that you would say, oh, they're in great shape. They're always going to be taxed. That's mm-hmm. the way – that's physics. That's physiology. So to me, that's not an issue to me. The question is he going to get injured? Is he going to pull muscles? I don't know about that. But the rest of that stuff, I wouldn't worry about.
Mike, I was going to say, and I guess to both of you guys, but Mike, I'm going to ask you the first. You know, you look at Robert Saleh now, year number two. We spent a lot of time talking about Brian Daboll with the Giants. He's a first-year coach. Mike, you've had coaches that worked for you, you know, whether it was Eric Mangini, whether it was, Rex, whether it was Gase down there in Miami. Rookie coaches making the jump to year number two. Is there something that you as the general manager looked for, or is there anything that you noticed maybe in all of them, the ones that were successful, that maybe they had a little bit different look or, you know, way that they conducted their business from year one to year two?
It should be really game one to game two. Like, it, I mean, you want guys that, you know, they're the biggest own critic in terms of, like, a challenge went wrong, too many men on the field, whatever of the all the things they're responsible for. So the best coaches are the ones that hold themselves way more accountable than anybody else would. And I don't even think it has to get to year two.
There's familiarity in this system, right, Greg? I mean, because they installed all that stuff last year, right? Offense, defense, new coaching staff. That's done with. Now you're back in this program for a second year, at least the players who were on this team a season ago, that they should be able to just hit the ground running here. No more learning curve.
Since when, with the Jets over the last 10 to 12 years, have we used the word continuity?
There hasn't been much.
Right. And you know what? As disparaging as that may be to the fans, it's worse for players, because now players have to come back in. All of a sudden, you've got to prove yourself again. And it's a constant, constant battle for players and coaches to get used to each other, where, you know, you walk into a room and there's one quiet guy and you say hello to the guy. He goes, hey, how are you? You don't know him. All of a sudden, you got a bad taste in your mouth for the guy. And it's no different with players. New players come in and you go, geez, what's this guy about? All right, let's see how he reacts. Let's see how he plays. First thing you do is he late for anything? No. Is he working in the weight room? Yes. Is he on the field early? Yes. Does he know what the playbook is? Yes. Well, that's your kind of guy. I don't care where he's from or what he's done before. That's the type of guy that you want to have a base with. So to me, it's a process that has to happen, but you can't have it happen every 2 years with really a whole transition from offensive coordinators and defensive coordinators and coaches and players. Holy mackerel. Just continuity is very, very important for football teams.
And you could speak to that, Mike, of course, I'm sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, it's not a one-size-fits-all approach because, look, there's going to be change. But certainly offensive line, like, that's almost a must because they spend so much time together working on nuances of protections. You know, that's where, like, for example, Ryan Jensen getting hurt for Tom Brady could be more consequential than I think people realize.
And, absolutely.
Yeah. So continuity is obviously important, but I think it's more so in some positions more than others.
Dan, you know, I was listening to you guys coming in, and Mike, you said a mouthful with two words, Chuma Adoga. And you know, fans want to know, geez, well, what do you expect in here? Hey, listen, it's all about the quarterback tonight and Chuma Adoga. And the rest of it's all team stuff. Because you practice team-wise, and you're a little rusty team-wise, and young guys and new guys running all over the place, so you're going to see mistakes. The physical mistakes you can't be making. The mental mistakes you can get away with. But the one guy I think could make a big statement is Chuma Adoga. That guy, you should watch him every single play if you're a fan, and let's see how that guy takes on a starting role, because that could be invaluable for him, the Jets, and his future.
And, I mean, he's a guy that, look, he's going to get the first opportunity tonight, as we know. But, you know, Dwayne Brown's coming in. They went outside the organization because they probably didn't think that deep down maybe the folks that they had in-house, the in-house options, were indeed an answer for them, because they have high hopes for this team. They think the roster's better. They think the personnel certainly is a lot deeper than it was a year ago, and they hope that it's going to be indicative when you look at the standings, the wins and the losses. I'll let you go get ready for the show because I know that, you know, you're busy. You know,
What you got to get ready for the show? What, you got to go meditate? What are you talking about?
Zen,
baby.
Mike, he is very regimented. He's like the starting pitcher. Like he needs everything a certain way on the day he pitches. He's not somebody you don't talk to the starting pitcher the day he pitches. You let him be in his own zone, very regimented. That's Greg before each and every one of our games on Sunday. It's like he's playing again.
That's because the night before, it was rough.
It was rough. The night before, so we had to zone in. Great seeing you again, and hey, we'll be seeing a lot of you and coming up at 6:30.
Awesome. And Mike, always nice to talk with you, bud.
You too. All the best, Greg.
Thanks.
All right, there's Greg Buddle. You hear him with me in about 45 minutes. Still a lot more to do here on TMCast. Remember, we got ENN coming up at 6 o'clock, an Anthony Pusick vehicle here on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Dan Gross and Mike Tannenbaum. It's the K Show, 98.7 ESPN. Got ENN coming up at 6 o'clock. Anthony Pusick all over that one. He's done an outstanding job all week long in handling those duties, and we expect nothing short of brilliance again this evening. Because just because it's Friday, it doesn't mean that you can slack or anything like that. I mean, you got to get it done, and Anthony will. He answers the call, Mike. He's a professional. Isn't that right?
Are you asking me or telling
me? I'm asking and telling you. How about that?
No, he's been the man all week, and he's quarterbacked this somehow, some way through some bumps and turns and all, so it's been great. I'm all in on Anthony.
By the way, it is also time for today's Diamond Notes, and that is brought to you by Nissan. Last night was the second go-round of the Field of Dreams game for Major League Baseball. The Cubs, the Reds, out there in Dyersville, Iowa. Apparently, that's not going to be a thing next year. There's a lot of behind-the-scenes business-type stuff, which I haven't really gotten to the bottom of, but Fox does a nice job with it. You know, this time it was Ken Griffey Jr. and Ken Griffey Sr. who come out of the corn there, and they have a catch, and they throw it around in the outfield. Remember, because the Yankees played in the game last year against Chicago. I think it's cool. I think it's a novelty. But did you see they did that CGI version of Harry Carey singing Take Me Out to the Ball Game during the seventh inning stretch? That was kind of odd, to say the least. You know what I mean? Like, everybody knows it's not really Harry Carey.
That didn't work for you?
No, it didn't. And Harry Carey was all dressed up. He had the jacket on, the coat and tie, and, you know, he looked like he was well put together. That wasn't Harry in the booth half the time. I mean, anybody knows anything about Harry, he was having a good time. You know, he was, you know, not exactly as buttoned up as he appeared, at least the hologram version of him did last night. So, look, they're trying. You know, I give baseball, you know, the old participation trophy, as they say, trying to come up with different ways to make a regular season game between the Cubs and the Reds seem a little bit appealing. I don't know what the rating was, Mike. I haven't seen that yet, but I don't know if it's going to have the lasting appeal. I think that they're going to have to get a little bit more creative if they're going to have just these, like, one-off type of regular season games.
Yeah, I mean, curious. I don't know why they want to continue it. It just seems like this is something that it breaks up in the monotony of a 162-game season.
I'm going to go with money probably more than anything else. I know. Believe it, you know Frank Thomas, the big hurt Frank Thomas, the guy who's like part of the Fox pregame, the Hall of Famer, Frank Thomas. Apparently like he owns the field or he's got some company that like owns the territory there or something like where they play the game in Iowa. I didn't get like to the bottom of it all, but I know that like he's involved somehow and there's something from a business nature which isn't going to allow them to go forward. So I've been told. But we'll see. Maybe it's just a one-year hiatus, but maybe they bring it back. I don't know. It's cool for one game. I just don't want it to get stale if they keep doing it just the same way, you know, with these old teams that they bring back. That's Diamond Oats brought to you by Nissan. You deserve a car that thrills you, and Nissan's got an exciting full line that'll put goosebumps on your goosebumps. Experience the thrill for yourself. Shop your local Nissan store and NissanUSA.com today. Mike, the Little League World Series is upon us, right? Little League Baseball, kids used to play it. At least it seems like they played it more so back when we were kids. But the 11- and 12-year-old team from the Massapequa Coast Little League, they're already crowned the Little League New York State champions, and that's for the first time in the league's 72-year history. They're one win away from heading to the Little League World Series in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. Supervisor Joseph Saladino and the Oyster Bay Town Board, they're planning a Road to Williamsport watch party. That is tonight at John J. Burns Park. It's in Massapequa, 4990 Merrick Road. It begins at 7 o'clock p.m., and they're looking to invite everybody to join them as they're going to live stream from Bristol, Connecticut. They're inviting everybody to bring their coolers, blankets, chairs, and mostly their hometown pride to show support for the Massapequa Coast Little League as they compete for a spot in the Little League World Series. So we wish everybody from Massapequa Coast Little League, the kids there, the parents, the families, all the luck in the world tonight. And maybe they make magic and create a memory that they can have forever. That'd be pretty cool, right?
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, best of luck.
General manager of the New York Rangers, Chris Drury, when he was a kid playing Little League Baseball, won the Little League World Series with Trumbull, Connecticut. I was about that age, and I remember that. And then all these years later, he becomes a hockey player and general manager of the New York Rangers. Good for Chris. That's a career well spent.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.